The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
This is Grace in Focus. Hello and welcome. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Have you ever wondered what the 70s were like? Well, for those of you that lived through it, you don't have to wonder, but you might still wonder what the 70s were like for Dr. Bob Wilkin. Today, we are going to find out. That's because we are in a series called His Unseen Hand, and it's based on Dr. Bob Wilkin's autobiography, which is set to come out in the near future. Today, we're going to discuss his college years and some interesting stories that go along with that. So let's get right to the episode with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome back to Grace in Focus, where we are taking a little bit of a change of pace from doing Q&As or studies through different books of the Bible, and we're doing a little bit of theological biography. Bob has been working on an autobiography called His Unseen Hand, and you're just kind of reflecting on your life. In the last couple episodes, we were talking about the younger part of your life when you're young boy growing up kind of in the Orthodox Church, a little bit in the United Methodist Church, and then getting involved with this Boys Christian League, which turned out to be an extreme holiness work salvation. Was it a cult or were they just really serious?
It depends on how you define a cult. Definitely they had a leader at the top, and we all looked to him and thought that his understanding of the Bible was infallible.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, I guess you could call it a cult, but they were Trinitarian. They did believe, as far as I could tell, the Bible had no errors in it.
Yeah.
So they were Orthodox on many points.
So not a theological cult, but maybe with the social pressures of a cult, maybe. Now, you were there until, I think you said, the age 14, where your parents took you out of that sports organization so that you could do sports in high school or middle school or something. So we're picking the story up. What are you now? You're about 14, 15 years old?
Yeah, I think we ended yesterday talking about that in high school, I invited Jesus into my heart and felt some kind of a something and thought maybe I was born again. That was age 16. But then I had serious doubts just about whether I was really saved, because in that way of looking at it, when you were saved, you had some sort of a feeling. And what confirmed the feeling, and this is kind of what's funny when I look at theology today, was your works. But unlike Lordship Salvation people today, where they're looking for a trajectory that suggests you will persevere in faith and good works, what we were looking for was sinless perfection.
Right.
And so it would be like one sin and you would prove you weren't saved. But we had a pretty loose understanding of what sin was. I mean, sin was external things like immorality, cussing was sin, smoking was sin.
Right.
Drunkenness was sin.
Yeah.
You do any of those things, you'd lose your salvation. But as far as was an outburst of anger sin, or was jealousy sin, was envy sin, we really didn't deal with attitudinal sins or sins of omission, really, other than, hey, if you missed church or something, or if you...
So you graduate from high school, you go to college.
Well, I guess I should mention, between high school and college, I went with a friend, John Carlson, to Europe for 3 months.
And this was the same friend from the Boys Christian League.
He was my best friend from Boys Christian League, and in high school, his parents made him quit as well. And so we both, at least as far as I know, he intended to go there and to be a leader after he graduated from college, just like I did. But then he went to University of Southern California, and I went to University of California at Irvine.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was at USC, during his sophomore year, he came to faith in Christ through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU.
Okay.
That summer, after his sophomore year, he went to Expo 72 in Dallas, Texas, which was a big evangelistic conference on how to evangelize by CRU and by Billy Graham.
Mm.
So he came back from that conference that summer, which was the summer of 72, looking to share his faith with people. And one of them he wanted to share his faith with was me. So he came to me in around, I'm thinking this was late August, And he said, have you ever considered that your view of the gospel could be wrong? Well, that was a shocker for me because I was like, I thought he still agreed with me that, you know, you had to turn from your sins and clean up your life. And then if you were good enough, your time came. And then if you lived a sinless life, you stay saved.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking, no, he's got some other view, which scared me. And then he invited me to a crew meeting at University of Southern California.
Okay.
And my initial reaction was no, but then I thought, you know what, Lord, what if I'm on the wrong path? I give up all this. I don't play sports. I'm not dating. I'm not making friends with people. All that, mm-hmm. and I end up going to hell. Wouldn't that be the ultimate bummer?
Right.
So you're
pretty introspective.
Yeah.
Already, all through high school, you like to joke that you're not quite OCD, but you're almost there.
I'm the OC and a half. Yeah.
And I can kind of see that not only coming from your parents' background, you're kind of growing up in the kind of household you did, but also I could see that being made worse, way worse, by being a part of a sinless perfection kind of salvation cult.
Oh, yeah. It really brought things out. And I didn't talk last time about how we had a fine system and went on our trips around the country, and it brought out my perfectionism even more. But anyway, when John invited me to this college life meeting, I prayed about it and decided, you know what, Lord, I'll go, but you protect me if they're wrong. And I went and I heard a couple of three different speakers all talk about the grace of God and mm-hmm. that it's a free gift. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And all of this appealed to me and all of it seemed too good to be true.
Yeah.
And I remember after the meeting, one of the supposed Christians from USC lit up a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I heard another one say a cuss word.
And that to you is,
well, how could these guys
Lord
be saved?
Lord, protect me.
Yeah. Right. But on top of all that, I said to John, these guys can't be Christians. He said, well, maybe we're saved by grace through faith, and then we grow over time, and these guys are still growing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was new.
Very wise answer.
Yeah. So I ended up getting a phone number from him for Campus Crusade for Christ at my school. And I called up the director there. Actually, it was Athletes in Action. The track team was based in Irvine.
Mm-hmm.
And my school year was just starting. And my school year didn't start until like mid-September. So I contacted them, and they put me in touch with someone named Warren Wilkie, who was a decathlete.
Mm-hmm.
I met with him about five times over the course of a week and a half, and he kept stressing, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
This is our, I think you've written an article about this before, broken record approach.
He used the broken record approach. He must have mentioned that the first hour I met with him, 10 times he quoted that verse, Ephesians 2:8-9.
Yeah.
Then 10 times, the second, third, fourth, fifth. By the fifth time, after hearing that verse like 50 times and looking at it in my Bible and thinking about it, by the fifth time it hit me, that's true.
Yeah.
I can't explain. And I had asked him about a whole lot of questions.
Sure.
And Warren gave me answers. And I wasn't satisfied with all the answers. But what I did come away with is, clearly salvation is a free gift. It's not of works. And clearly, it's a once-and-for-all experience.
Yeah.
I came to faith at that point, and that was actually, I graduated in 3 years, so that was actually the beginning of my senior year. After I came to faith, I became a student leader with Campus Crusade that year, and then the next year, I did a year of grad school in education and received my secondary teaching credential. So through Crusade, I ended up learning how to share my faith. We went to the Rose Bowl and the Rose Parade and shared our faith there. And I would go on campus, share my faith with Warren. And then I started taking other students with me, and we'd share our faith. And
now, by the way, and this might be an example of his unseen hand. You said that your friend Carlson.
John, yeah.
He went to USC,
right.
University of Southern California. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you had gotten accepted into USC.
I did.
And you wanted to go there, but then there was a parental kind of shenanigans happening.
Well, yeah, you've got the story a little bit mishmashed, but I only applied to two schools, USC and UCLA.
Okay.
And I got into both.
Okay.
And when John and I were in Europe, a letter came from UCLA saying, we have 50,000 students. And UC Irvine only has 8,000 students, and we'd love to transfer your acceptance letter over there. So my mother forged my name on the document. I'm in Europe.
You're not in contact with your parents.
Well,
on a
I
daily
was
basis.
In contact. We got letters and we talked on the phone once or twice. But my mother did this secretly. In fact, I didn't even find out this story until about 15 years after I graduated from college. She transferred me to UC Irvine. She got me into the freshman dorm.
You were set to go to UCLA, is that
right?
Oh, really? And in your mind, while you're in Europe, you're thinking, I'm going to UCLA?
Oh, exactly.
Okay. So it's really, maybe it's, in this case, it's her unseen hand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so your mom took the prerogative of saying, nah, I think he's going to go to this UC
and
Irvine.
And the reason
instead.
She did that was not because she didn't like UCLA. It was because a number of the leaders of Boys Christian League went to UCLA. So she wanted me to be away from them. So she transferred me over to Irvine, got me in the freshman dorm, and I ended up having a completely different experience. But God used that ultimately in so many ways. I not only ended up coming to faith, but I became a student leader with Campus Crusade for Christ. And then after 1 year of grad school, I ended up going on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Somehow God was kind of working these things out.
Who knows what would have happened had I have gone to UCLA? John went to USC, which is one of the other schools I could have gone to.
Yeah, yeah.
My sister actually graduated from USC, so I mean, I had some connections there. And it's kind of the more prestigious of the two schools. But God used all that in my life, and my experience at Irvine was wonderful. And the interesting thing is I came to faith at the beginning of my senior year, and I had run track one semester in high school. So Warren was on the Athletes in Action track team, and he talked me into trying out for the Irvine track team,
which was
just starting that year.
Oh, really?
And I was on the inaugural UC Irvine track team, ran the 400 meters and 800 meters.
Cool.
And didn't do much of anything, but had
you did
a fun
it.
Year.
You have that memory. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Well, thank you for sharing, and thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to discuss Dr. Bob Wilkins' introduction to Campus Crusade and how that changed his life forever. So, join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.